The scripture has been given to you from the gospel as recorded by St. John. We read verses 1 through 7. We want you to mark down verses 11 through 17, verses 20 through 29, and verses 32 through 46, in addition to what we have read. All will help make up what we're going to talk about this morning. From the gospel as recorded by St. John, chapter 11. And from these passages of scriptures, I want to just spend a little moment or two talking about what to do with your Lazarus predicaments. Right. What to do with your Lazarus predicaments. Today we've been blessed to gather once again in this house of prayer to hear another word from the Lord. God has blessed us to have this special privilege to hear this word, because in this word today there is deliverance for those who find themselves spiritually bound by the pressures and trials of life. In this word is salvation for those who are living in this sin, decayed, and dying world and have yet to claim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In this word is a life-changing and life-giving message that will bless your life if you open your hearts and minds and gladly receive the word of God. This message comes to us today because, without a doubt, in my sanctified mind, we're living in some perilous and troubling times. Have I got a witness? We're living in times where people today find themselves trapped in dead-end situations. It might be a job that is going nowhere. It might be a relationship that has turned upside down. It might be the constant struggle with trying to break a habit that has you bound and trapped. All of these things represent spiritual predicaments that have the traits of the predicament that Lazarus found himself in. And that predicament was that Lazarus got sick and ended up dying as a result of his sickness. But the good news that comes to us today, all of the way from the printing press in heaven, is that it doesn't matter what predicament you find yourself in. When you meet my friend Jesus Christ and cast your troubles upon him and place your life in his hands, the power that Jesus has will raise you up from your dead end, going nowhere situation if you will just have faith in him. So at the end of this message, you don't have to leave here the same way you came in. For we will pause for a minute and extend an invitation that will allow you to come and surrender your life to Jesus Christ today. The choice to receive him and make him both your Lord and Savior of your life is still yours to make. Yes, the cost to receive him is still free. Because Jesus paid our sin debt in full over 2,000 years or so ago when he was crucified, suffered, bled, and died on Calvary's rugged cross. But the time in which you have to do this is winding up. Because Jesus is not just coming back, but you need to know he's on his way back to come and take his church home to be with him forever. And so I wonder again this morning, who shall believe our report? For a few minutes this morning, I ask that you pray with me and for me as I attempt again with my very feeble ability to expound upon the following truths that God would have us to know. And I ask that you pray that God will give me preaching power and the boldness to declare this gospel today. Then I also pray that you will ask that the Holy Spirit stay with us and come by and stay with us and amplify upon these truths in order that our God will be glorified and our souls will be edified and Satan will be dried and tied up as we work towards tearing his kingdom down. There are just a few truths that we find in our text today that God will have us to know. The first thing that we see, and I gave you the outline of the various scriptures, but the first thing that we see is that miracles testify of the power of God. And the second thing that I want to talk about is that you must have an expecting faith. And then thirdly, if the Holy Spirit allows, we must give God thanks for hearing our prayers. And you're going to pray with me this morning? Our text today comes from the pen and divine inspiration of God that was given to the Apostle John. He wrote this book to new Christians and certain non-Christians. John wrote this book also to prove conclusively that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that all who believe in him will have eternal life. In this book, you will find 8 of the miracles that Jesus performed during his earthly ministry. And of the 8 miracles recorded, 6 are unique to this gospel, such as the upper room discourse. Then over 90% of John is unique to his gospel recording the miracles, but John does not contain any genealogy or any record of Jesus' birth, childhood, or temptation, transfigurations, appointment of the disciples, nor any account of Jesus' parables, his ascension, or great commission. He wrote this gospel in order that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In this book, Jesus declares and speaks of himself as the resurrection and the life. And not only does he declare this, but also Jesus proves his right to this title, as we see in the text, that he raised Lazarus from the dead. So when you study this book, you will come to realize that Jesus Christ and death cannot exist together. I need to say that again. Jesus Christ and death cannot exist together. In other words, whenever you or anything is surrounded by Jesus, nothing can or ever will die. Am I in the right house this morning? When Jesus gives you life, he also gives you liberty. And this is proven in the text today because although Lazarus received life, he needed liberty. And so Jesus grants that by saying to the people, when Lazarus came forth from the grave, loose him and let him go. Today there are believers among us who have life, but you lack liberty. Some are even born again, but yet you are bound. There are unbelievers who also are unable to enjoy life because Christ is missing from your life. And let me digress just a little bit. I'm so impressed with this young group that were here this morning, and And parents, I encourage you to continue to raise your children up in the church. Amen. Amen. When you meet Jesus and Jesus is confronted with your predicament that you find yourself in, I'm a living witness. He will set you free. So in order to understand how this will take place in your life, we're now led to the first truth in the text that tells us that miracles testify about the power of Christ. The main character in the story we see today, we see the main character is that of Lazarus. The name Lazarus means God has helped. And it is the name also of two men in the New Testament. You recall the beggar in Jesus' story about a rich man and a poor man over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. The wealthy man despised the beggar, paying no attention to his needs when he passed him by each day. But then there is the story of Lazarus, Mary and Martha. The brother of Martha and Mary of Bethany, as we see here in John 11. And one long account in the Gospel of John tells about his death and resurrection at the command of Jesus, which is right where we are today. This story was not intended, my beloved, to glorify grief, but it teaches that our attitude on earth will result in an eternal destiny that parallels our attitude. You see, our attitudes must be centered on, shaped and molded by having faith in Jesus Christ and Him only. In verse 14 now, in our text, Jesus clearly states what He mentioned earlier about His friend Lazarus. He spoke of his condition as being asleep. And the disciples, who were asleep in their thinking, thought that He meant that he was resting, but Jesus clearly states that Lazarus is dead. But notice how Jesus continues his point as he says in verse 15, "And I'm glad for your sakes I was not there to the intent that you may believe." Now you're going to need your Bible to stay with me. I'm still a Bible preaching Negro. Amen. Jesus was about to perform one of his miracles. So he was glad to testify about the fact that Lazarus was dead. But what we are about to see will encourage us. So let's run now in this text and meet Jesus in this miracle. Jesus' teaching and healing ministry and his demonstration of power were designed to give proof and testify of his position as the Messiah. It was also done to give the disciples encouragement and enlightenment and an example of how his power works. Well, today, we have the same availability of the demonstration of the power of Christ for each one of us. For you see, the power of Christ did not die with him on that cross where Jesus died on Calvary. And neither was it buried in that borrowed tomb. For when Jesus arose from the grave on that third day morning after he died, he got up from the grave with all power in his hand. Have I got a witness here? And so the miracles that were performed during the earthly ministry of Christ are still available today because the miracles of Jesus testify about the power of God. Well, is there anyone here who has ever seen a miracle of Christ performed? Well, I want you to know that when you are looking at me, you are looking at a miracle. For it was a few years, Bishop read my my biography a little bit, but it was about back in 1986 that I nearly died from falling into a diabetic coma. Didn't know I even had diabetes. Living in Salt Lake City, Utah, where none of my family lived other than those that moved out there with me, my children and my wife. But the hands of Jesus touched me in that ICU unit, and here I am today, loosed and let go of a dead situation. Oh, praise his holy name. That's not the only time that Jesus has done that. It was a few years ago, even coming through your city of visiting. I was also in the ICU unit here at Bay State. Your bishop, my friend, and other friends in the city, pastor, came and prayed for me while I lay there, didn't know where I was. But the hands of Jesus touched me again. And here I am still today. All I'm trying to today to tell you is that God is still working miracles. And the miracles he's already performed, he just don't let it go. He does maintenance on those miracles in that he keeps on keeping on. Have I got a witness? Well, maybe you understand it this way, but every time I turn around, he keeps on blessing me. Oh, praise his holy name. There ought to be some other witnesses here that should have said, Pastor, I got to join in that shout because the hand of Jesus has also touched me. And see, if you're not ashamed about it, you would do that because you don't know when you're going to need the hand again to come by and touch you. Have I got any witnesses in the house? Oh, bless his holy name. Yes, he will come and do it again. I wonder if you will give Jesus a try today. Have you tried him? Then tell the Lord thank you. As we move on, the next thing we see in the text is that in order to handle your Lazarus predicaments, you must have an expecting faith. Look down in verse 22 now. Of this text. In this verse, we find Martha talking with Jesus about her brother dying. But notice what she says in this verse. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Won't he do it for you? You've got to have an expecting faith, my brothers and sisters. So Martha expected Jesus would be able to do something miraculous because she knew him as God's only begotten son. And so, my beloved, I want you to know that this phenomenon known as faith is what grips the heart of God and moves the hand of God to aid the specific needs of the people of God. So you see, the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Have I got a witness here? Now, don't worry about the little sideshow here. Amen. I'm used to that because you see, the devil's busy. He knows his time is short. So he's going to always try to disrupt God's program. It's happening where I pastor today. So that's nothing new to me. Amen. So just stay focused on the Lord. Yes, talking about faith here. Yes, faith grips the heart of God. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11, 7, it says that by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And when he went out, not knowing whether he went, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. I need some Bible readers. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, and after they were compassed about 7 days. Yes, by faith, the Bible even teaches for you New Testament saints over in Luke chapter 8, that there was a woman who had an issue of blood, who one day heard that Jesus was passing by, pressed her way through the crowd, and said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. So she reached out and touched Jesus. And when Jesus felt the touch, he said, somebody touched me. And the disciples tried to tell him that it was just a big crowd swelling, shoving one another. But Jesus said, no, somebody touched me, because he knew that his virtue or power had come out of him. And so he looked around and saw a woman who fell at her knees and told Jesus why she had done this. And by telling Jesus about her condition and how she expected deliverance, It could only come from him. Jesus turned around and told her to go in peace. Yes. For your faith has made you whole. Oh, my friends, this woman went from having treatments to being made whole. The problem we are having in our world today, even with sickness and illness and diseases, is doctors are only treating symptoms, but the patient needs to be made whole. We've got people on mind-altering drugs, such as Zoloft and Ritalin, just treating the symptoms. And what they need is to be made whole.
Yes, sir.
We've got people today, I know that we're living in dark times and perilous times, as I mentioned, but when I arrived in town, going down Sumner Avenue on trash pickup day, there was a man who was dumpster diving in the trash barrels, getting food. And my wife told me that even in front of their house, right over in 16 acres, someone was dumpster diving and eating what they pulled out. We're living in some troubling times. They've got a sickness, they got a need, they need to be made whole. Have I got a witness here? And I just stopped by today to declare to you today that if you surrender your life to Jesus and come with an expecting faith, like Martha in our text, God will reward you by blessing your faith. I wonder today, what will you do with your Lazarus predicaments? Have you thought about your Lazarus predicaments? You must do it without wavering and come knowing that there is nothing impossible with God. Have I got any witnesses in the house there? Nothing is impossible with God. And then finally, we must give God thanks for hearing our prayers. Move with me down to the latter part of our outline around verse 41. Here we find the most powerful tool to use to get God to work in your life. Some of you are wondering what's taking God so long to answer your prayers. Look at it there in verse 41. We must give God thanks for hearing our prayers. Not answering, but hearing our prayers. You must give him thanks for hearing our prayers. Someone once said that prayers are the ascent of our souls to God and the directing of his affections, emotions heavenward. He lifted up his eyes as looking above, looking beyond the grave where Lazarus lay, Jesus did, and overlooking all the difficulties that arose thence, that he might have his eyes fixed upon the divine omnipotence to teach us to do as Abraham, as he addresses to God, was with great assurance and with such a confidence as overcame him. Look at Jesus. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Oh, bless his holy name. Here we find Jesus teaching us by his own example. First, in prayers, some of you need to learn this because you don't come to prayer meetings. I thought I was a new birth. I'm sorry. But first, in prayer, you need to call God Father. He's not your boo. He's not your bruh. He's not your neighbor or your boon coon. None of those accolades. He's Father. Yeah. Have I got a witness here? Yes, we must call God Father and then draw nigh to Him as children do to their fathers, and come with an humble reverence and yet with a holy boldness. Secondly, in our prayers, we must praise Him. And when we come to beg and ask for further mercy, thankfully, to acknowledge, we must acknowledge, that is, former favors. When we remember to thank God, you see, for past blessings and acknowledge His omnipotent power, He's pleased with this act. Notice here in the text that this miracle has yet to be performed, but yet Jesus is already thanking God for hearing Him. And one of the reasons that many people fail to see God in their life is because we have seen them fail to thank Him for past answers to your prayers. You see, God is not just a one-time God. He's an all-time God. Have I got a witness? But He's also a God of a second chance. And so we must thank Him for past favors. So I wonder today, is there anybody here who took time today to stop and just thank God for hearing your prayers? Have you taken the time to thank God for even answering your prayers? If not, then why not do it now on this holiday weekend? Why not take about 30 seconds and give God some crazy thankful praise? Come on, don't fool me. You got some needs. Come on, don't fool me. You got some needs. You ought to thank Him. Be glad that He made you. Be glad that He made you in His image. Be glad that He's promised that He will come and see about you. Oh, praise His holy name. Amen. Amen. Put that in your practice. And while you're waiting on God, you'll start remembering what He's done for you in the past. And whatever you're waiting on, you know that it's on its way. It's just under construction. You don't want God to give you something that's incomplete. Have I got a witness? And He doesn't work like that. He knows what we are in need of, even before we ask. And while preparing this message the other day, I'm reminded of an article entitled "Thank God Right Now." And it seems to summarize this last point and message. Thank Him right now. Dear Father, it goes on to say, I want to thank You for what You have already done. I'm not going to wait until I see results or receive rewards. I am thanking You right now. I'm not going to wait until I feel better or things look better. I'm thanking You right now. I'm not going to wait until people say they are sorry or until they stop talking about me. I'm thanking You right now. I'm not going to wait until the pain in my body disappears. I'm thanking You right now. I'm not going to wait until my financial situation improves. I'm going to thank You right now. I'm not going to wait until the children are asleep and the house is quiet. I'm going to thank You right now. I'm not going to wait until I get promoted at work or until I get a job, but I'm going to thank You right now. I'm not going to wait until I understand every experience in my life. that has caused me pain or grief. I'm just going to thank you right now. I'm not going to wait until the journey gets easier or the challenges are removed. I'm thanking you, Lord, right now. I'm thanking you because I am alive. I'm thanking you because you've let me see a brand new day. I'm thanking you because I made it through yesterday's and even today's difficulties. And I'm thanking you because I've been able to walk around and over my obstacles. I'm thanking you because I have the ability and the opportunity to do more and even do better. I'm thanking you because you haven't given up on me. I'm thanking you because I have the ability and the opportunity to do greater things. I'm thanking you. It's all because you live in me. I'm thanking you because you are the great I am. I'm thanking you because there's nothing too hard for you to handle. I'm thanking you because you're just so good, and you're good all the time, and all the time you are still good. I'm thanking you because of my Lazarus predicament, because you knew that Lazarus was sick, and you knew that Lazarus had died. You didn't come right away, but still I thank you that you came. And when you came, you called Lazarus, and you called him by his name. I'm so glad that you called him by his name, because since then you've been calling all of your children by their name. Have I got a witness here? He called me when I was sick and couldn't get well. But he called me when I was living in sin. Ain't God all right? I thank him that I'm not what I am. I'm still got things to come. I thank him most of all. I'm not what I used to be. Because God, he's not through with me yet. Is there anybody here that knows that when you call on Jesus, you will get an answer? Then tell the Lord, thank you right now. I'm so glad that in his infinite wisdom that he knew just what we needed, because 2,000 years ago he gave his only begotten son. I'm so glad that his son gave his life on Calvary with nails in his hands. He took my sins away, and that's why I said thank you. With nails in his feet, he took my sins away. But then they pierced him in his side, and then blood was everywhere. Blood began flowing, flowing like a river. And I'm so glad it was enough blood to wash away my sins. Is there anybody here who's glad that Jesus died
for your sins and your aid. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I stop by today to tell you that the blood of Jesus is still works. Have I got a witness here? It'll save a dying soul. Won't he do it? Say yeah. I said the blood still works. His blood woke me up this morning, started me on my way. Have I got a witness here? Want to do it for him? Say yeah. I'll say yeah. Ain't he all right? Well, I don't worry about my Lazarus predicaments because my hope is still built not on number 45 in Washington, but my hope, 45 is Donald Trump. My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but holy, I'm leaning on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Do you love Jesus? Have you tried him? Say yeah. Ain't he all right? Don't fool me now. Ain't he all right? He's taking care of my mother-in-law. He's taking care of my wife while she's been away. He's all right. Have I got a witness here? If you love him, say yeah. Oh, yeah.